Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
Of course, we have to assume that there is more access to drugs coming out of lockdown, perhaps more opportunity to take recreational drugs.
Well, as you rightly say there, it's not just about what are the drugs and when are they taking them, it's what are the reasons that they're taking them.
Over the last 12 months, we've definitely heard of an increase in the pressures that come back with coming out of lockdown, you know, school pressures, work pressures, family relationships pressures. So I think that in itself plays a big part.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Welcome to the home of the UK's conversation about mental health. It's Mental Health Monday. It strikes me that in recent weeks, and sometimes this happens with just the agenda, that we're talking a lot about particular subjects, and we've been talking the last couple of weeks about young people. Just so happens that young people are the focus of part of the conversation today. It's not particularly an agenda that I have. It's, I think, maybe to do with the fact that with kids going back into school, people start to assess where kids are at. So sort of September and October time throws up these sorts of conversations. But I think each one justifies themselves in terms of the things that they're looking at, the work that they're doing, and hopefully offering a bit of an insight into the lives of young people and all kinds of different people from all different kinds of walks of life. And, you know, episode 260-odd of the podcast, it's probably right that we continue to do that. We are going in a slightly different direction next week. I'll tell you about that as part of next week's programme. But in the meantime, let's focus on the team from The Mix, who once again have offered us a really interesting insight here at Mental Health Monday into the lives of young people. And they've got a new survey, which is really quite an eye-opening one, around the number of young people who are taking illegal drugs. Now, in the last year, in the last 12 months, there's been a 50% increase in the number of young people who have been taking illegal substances. Now, what's happened in the last year? End of lockdown, reopening of the economy, return to nightclubs, return to mixing spaces where young people can get together. So there's been a large increase, a 50% increase in drug use recognised by this survey. It actually works out around one in three young people now have used an illegal drug in the last 12 months. If you scale that up to the whole of the UK, that would mean, in terms of those young people, around 2.6 million young people. 17% of those drugs were Class A. And there's also been an increasing frequency of drug use as well. So we'll take a look in a few moments at maybe why that's happening and what it's found and what the survey is looking for. But there's also some interesting stuff in there as well about the types of substances that are being used and the reasons for it as well. A 75% increase in those saying they were using substances to escape problems. That's around one in five. A similar number of young people use substances to help them cope with a mental health issue or emotional distress. And there's also another angle to this one from a mental health point of view, and that's that 8% of young people said they'd used antidepressants outside of a doctor's prescription within 30 days before that survey. So that's 8%, 30 days before that survey, had been using antidepressants, self-prescribed, if you like. Others use dosing prescribed by their doctor, with young people showing signs of addiction as well. We'll get into what that means. There's also an issue around study drugs as well, amphetamine use, that supposedly focus the mind. We'll take a look at those stats as well and maybe ask what the story is then. So there's plenty in this, and there's loads of different stats. I'll put a link to The Mix on the podcast notes so you can find out more about the work that they're doing. But it's really trying to absorb what's going on here. We've got Zoe Bailey on the program this week from The Mix, really great talker, and has been looking at the results of this survey and kind of asking the question, well, what did we hope to achieve from finding it? And now we've got those stats, what can we do with them?
We have been working with young people under 25-year-olds at The Mix for a very, very long time, and have a huge amount of insights from them. Not just things that they tell us and things that they talk about within our services, but also all of our data that we've been able to kind of look at and analyse over, you know, sort of 20-year period, really, and looking at movements in drug use, in how young people talk about it, and what their thoughts are around it, their attitudes towards it, how they access it, and kind of what next? How can we be a better support service and better amplify those voices that we're hearing about drug use for young people? So we set about last year, and the same time last year, on sort of benchmarking where young people's attitudes were towards drug use, how they were using them, were they using them, and actually trying to get some really accurate insights into that from a survey of 2,000 young people. We were able to do the same again this year so that we could see whether that had changed, see why it might have changed, and whether we as an anonymous free support service could do anything better than we were already doing, and how we could advise other support services to do the same. So, so those are the kind of things that we wanted to pull out of this, how to be better ourselves as a support service for young people, and how to really amplify the voices of young people who had something to say about drugs, whether they were an issue in their lives or whether they were helpful in their lives.
So when we talk about headline figures, one in three young people have used an illegal drug in the past 12 months. Now, compared to the year before, bearing in mind the year before was a little bit disjointed, it's one in three this year. Last year, it was between one in four, one in five. So that's a sharp increase. But first and foremost, that one in three, 16 to 25, is that a surprising number for you? Is that where you thought the numbers would be?
That's a really, really good question, because some people that I've spoken to about this have been incredibly surprised at how low that is. Others are like, well, yes, kind of thought it might be that. But definitely the biggest reaction has been, gosh, I thought it would be more. And, you know, that's really interesting, because is that people's perception of young people that is very skewed and maybe slightly negative and presumptuous? So we want to kind of break that, you know, break that taboo down about young people as well. So one in three is the figure that we're at this year. You're right, one in four, one in five last year. So it's actually what we're looking at is about a 50% increase over the last 12 months. And that's the surprising thing. The one in three is, you know, is not as surprising. The 50% increase over the last year is what is surprising. Why has that come about?
And in terms of that, might it be related to lockdowns and sort of social movements during that time potentially?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yes, we're of course we have to assume that there is more access to drugs coming out of lockdown, more opportunity to take recreational drugs in a fun environment. So, you know, that's what young people have told us. So those things definitely. But also over the last 12 months, we've definitely heard of an increase in the pressures that come back with coming out of lockdown, you know, school pressures, work pressures, family relationships pressures. So I think that in itself plays a big part. So access to drugs, being able to actually get hold of them more easily, more readily available, not being locked in a house all day gives you more access to them in itself. But on the other side as well, there's definitely more pressures associated with being back in the outside world, being back at school every day, being back in education or employment every day.
I think it's really interesting because, of course, obviously with that more opportunity, there's also a marked increase in frequency of drug taking as well. But as you rightly say there, it's not just about what are the drugs and what when are they taking them. It's what are the reasons that they're taking them. 75% increase in using substances to escape problems. And actually, this is one of these themes that's come back even in the last few weeks, Zoe, on the podcast, whereby we're hearing more and more that young people are unhappy with their lives or aspects of their lives, unhappy with school. One in eight, I think, was the stat that we had on last week's program. One in 16 unhappy with their lives overall. And actually now evidence that, you know, of those drug users, you know, three out of four are trying to escape their problems.
Yeah, they are. Three out of four are trying to escape their problems that have used drugs in the last 12 months. Of course, the one in four, one quarter, are taking them for completely other reasons. So that's not to be overlooked as well. But because the you know, we've got the reasons for using substances. Number one there is to have fun. Actually, that's what we were told. To relax, you know, to have new experiences. And actually, maybe that's something coming out of lockdown as well. Difficult to have new experiences when you're when you're in lockdown, isn't it? Except for those that you might have online, I suppose. So in the real world, taking drugs actually forms a big part of that. And so new experiences are a really big deal. But definitely those that kind of have said they wanted to fit in with friends, those that are trying to manage their mental health, which is, you know, obviously not just recreational drugs, but prescription drugs as well. So there's a real mixture of reasons. The one that, you know, what we're particularly interested in is helping young people understand why they might be a go-to for those things. You know, why might illegal substances and drugs be a go-to to have fun? Why might prescription and legal drugs be a go-to for their mental health? What other mechanisms can we put in place so that young people can have a conversation about different coping mechanisms or, you know, an informed choice about using drugs to have fun, rather than that just being an immediate thing that they think would be a solution.
Yeah, I mean, so some people might look at the survey findings and say, you know, 17% of young people are using a class A drug. I'd be horrified because class A drugs are the really bad ones, as we're told. But of course, young people, I guess, aren't necessarily, you know, they're not picking them off a shelf and going class A, class B, class C. You know, they're looking at various different sort of opportunities, what's available, and the reasons that they want to do things as well. You mentioned antidepressants, that people will go, hang on a minute, I thought you said illegal drugs. There's nothing illegal about antidepressants. But a hint within the survey that there's almost a culture of antidepressant sort of tweaking and people sort of self-prescribing or sort of self-modeling their own antidepressants as well. Now, this is concerning because, of course, I think if people think someone has been, you know, offered antidepressants, they take those and there's a pathway for those antidepressants and a reason for them. But people sort of freestyling them a little bit or doing their own thing with them is obviously a little bit more concerning because they become used for what they're not quite supposed to be used for. 8% of young people had used antidepressants outside of a doctor's prescription. This rises to 12% among young people who've used antidepressants outside of a prescription over the last 12 months. And then this suggestion of, I think the phrase that she used is it dosing that people have where they sort of mix things up a little bit. That shows maybe that, is there a risk that some of these antidepressants are becoming about maybe a little bit of dependency, or there's a cultural thing going on there even?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the young people that we've spoken to, and you'll see, as you said, the results from the survey, it's not just something that's happened over the last 12 months. It's been happening and building for quite a long time about self-diagnosis. And a lot of this is around, you know, access to more information online, and that's a good thing. Access to accurate information online and trustworthy information online is a whole different, you know, kettle of fish, which is where the mix comes in, obviously. But we want to be that first port of call with trusted, accurate information that we provide so that young people can get the information that they need to be able to then go on to the next step, which could be going to see their GP or healthcare professional, teacher, or somebody else that they might trust that might be able to help them with a professional diagnosis and therefore be prescribed the correct thing for them. Could be talking therapy, could be medication. But the jump to that keeps happening, and young people keep telling us, is that they are self-diagnosing. And therefore, when they go into a GP or medical professional, often they know more about it than that GP. So, you know, GPs are doing a fantastic job where they can, but we know they're stretched. We don't need to talk about the NHS, but it becomes important when a young person can walk in and be utterly believable in the symptoms that they're describing when they might not be wholly accurate. You know, or they might need to be discussed. They might need to be tested a little bit more and really find out what that young person is going through and how they're feeling. Whereas the GPs are becoming very quick to prescribe antidepressants. And we've seen, you know, there is a lot of data and stats around the increase in antidepressants being prescribed. So there is a massive, you know, the big correlation between that and young people's self-diagnosis, going to the GP, explaining their symptoms, coming out with antidepressants. I've also heard and spoken to young people who are going to different GPs with groups of friends and being prescribed different medication and being able to pass that between themselves so that they can self-medicate and dose in the way that they want to, as you've described. Dosing is definitely about not taking the prescribed dosage. doesn't come from young people messing around with their health and their well-being and their mental health. It comes from them wanting to make themselves feel better, feel different. And it comes from them being very scared about withdrawal symptoms. It comes from them not having access to non-judgmental situations, therapy, alternative, you know, counselling, alternatives to medication. So, you know, I would never, ever want to make anybody think that young people are doing this just to be clever and have fun with prescribed medication. It, you know, absolutely is not about that. What we do need to do is listen to young people more. If they've got the skills to be able to go into a GP, talk about their mental well-being, and a GP to prescribe them medication, then they've got skills to be involved in a larger conversation with medical and healthcare professionals about how better to prescribe. So, you know, let's get young people in the room while we're talking about this issue and let them talk to healthcare professionals about, you know, what the alternatives could be and how they want to be talked to in a GP surgery as well.
It's interesting that idea that, you know, that a young person is looking for something and, you know, not cynically exploits that opportunity, but seeks that opportunity to find that, because it sits slightly differently with something else which comes out of the survey, which is the use of study drugs, these sort of drugs which we are told, I've never taken them, but they're told that, you know, focus the mind. And I think they're often given to people who are, for instance, with ADHD, that. And you used to hear stories about this, that kids would take these drugs because it would help them study, it would help them stay up late, combined with energy drinks and things like that. It would allow them to work late into the night when exam pressures were high as well. The survey sort of found that the use of these is still very much there. Is it a habitual thing? Is it linked to certain exam times? Or what's the story with study drugs in young people at the moment?
Yeah, it's I mean, definitely we're hearing it's on the increase, whether people are talking about it more. I mean, it's not something massively new that people would find something to help them study and stay up all night, whether that be a combination of day nurse and night nurse, or you know, caffeine, Red Bull, what, you know, anything like that. There's always been an element of that. But this is something that we've, you know, as you say, we've definitely seen young people on the increase of using amphetamines in this way. You know, mentioned drugs that are used for ADHD, such as Ritalin, that is being prescribed more. Again, prescription issue here, but that's being prescribed more. But you can also readily buy that in the same way that you can buy, you know, any drugs online. So the access to that, I think, is probably an issue that needs to be looked at and dealt with across all of the kind of online medication sales. But the habitual use of it is a really interesting thing, because the habitual use of these drugs and the over-prescribing of these drugs might absolutely lead to a young person's dependency for a lifetime. You know, if this is what you use when you're young to be able to get through exams or experiences in life, then it's something that you can become really, you know, you find that then is the only thing that's compatible with a moment of stress or needing to stay up all night, whereas other study mechanisms perhaps are not coming forward clearly enough for those young people. So maybe that's an issue for education. You know, maybe we need to look at actually how young people are being educated and the pressures that they're under there, that they are turning to amphetamine use on a regular basis, which obviously can lead to other things, addiction and lifetime use of prescribed drugs or non-prescribed drugs. And so we need to perhaps look at how young people are educated and the pressures that they're under. And at the same time, you know, teachers, again, like GPs, under a huge amount of pressure, massive targets on their heads. But, you know, should they be having the time to look more holistically at that young person, giving them more study guides, more help in class and different ways to revise rather than pulling an all-nighter the night before? So I think there's different layers of these things, but young people's choice to use amphetamines is a really interesting one, that we want to provide more information to them about actually the longer term impact on that. So, you know, the mix of producing a lot of materials that are accessible to young people and won't judge them for their use of it, but will try to help them find alternatives.
We'll come on to sort of the support networks that are out there and how organisations like the Mix can get involved. Having looked through those survey findings, what do we take from it? So we've got the study drugs element, which seems to be linked to one thing. Then you've got the antidepressants, this escapism thing. And then you've got sort of class A drugs, which is maybe that more instant impact type thing. There's a lot going on within that one in three that's identified within that survey of 16 to 25-year-olds. And when you scale that up across the country, we're talking about many millions of different people, many millions of different young people, with a whole host of different things, but each one of them is looking for something which goes beyond our current legal boundaries to find a solution for. Where do we even start? So, in terms of finding what those way forwards are.
That's a great question. That's kind of really hard to answer. Except for my place to start would be asking young people. The reason that young people are not talking about this openly, there is such a massive stigma around, everything to do with drugs, as prescription drugs as well. People are not talking about that. So why would they be talking about class A, B, C drugs? Do they even know what the difference between class A, B, C is? So I would start with talking to young people, asking them what they need, why they're doing it. That's part of the survey, what the why, where, how. We're learning things from this survey, such as, more young people in employment are taking illegal drugs than those in, out of employment, or students. It's really interesting things like that we're finding out, breaking down assumptions, breaking down taboos. So let's talk to young people about what they need, why they're doing it. Let's talk to them about what would make them seek alternatives if they're using it as a support drug, for their well-being. What alternatives could there be? What else could they access? What isn't there for them right now? This is the most interesting part. What isn't there for young people right now that is making them turn to drugs as a therapy option or as a.
That's a great answer. I guess if you then threw this towards, I tend to say the government, I feel like it might be different by the time even people listen to this, given everything that's gone. But if you put this towards the government, they will respond by saying, I would guess they were talking about police numbers, arrests. They would talk about cracking down on cartels or whatever it would be. From a global point of view, this is not necessarily just within the UK. But actually, none of those things are the things that you've just talked about. You've talked about, like things like motivation and self-esteem and circumstance. These much more holistic ways of looking at that issue. And I wonder whether or not, and you mentioned the taboo there, while we've not got a young person with us today. I think that's almost part of the taboo, because we're having this conversation from a mental health point of view and a health point of view, but actually the world sees this conversation as a you've broke the law, you haven't broken the law point of view. And that's the leap, isn't that? That's part of the taboo, that you can't say, yes, I do this, because straight away someone literally might put you in prison. As opposed to, I do this because I need help. I do this because I am low in confidence. I do this because I've experienced some really terrible and difficult things that I want to try and forget and escape from. That's a much more, dare I say, loving conversation to have, which involves cups of tea and hugs and rooms with cushions in, not padded cells or prison rooms or courtrooms and those sorts of things.
Oh, absolutely. We've worked with loads of brilliant experts in this field at the Mix to be able to pull together this research and our response to it. The Amy Winehouse Foundation being one, absolutely amazing work that they do with young people in schools and in educating about drugs rather than judging and about drugs. And, one of the things that we've really learned is that we shouldn't be talking about using certain language, making it feel like drugs are being, or use of drugs is criminalised. You're naughty and bad and you're going to get in trouble. It's like, well, why? You know, ask why is the first question. If anyone sat down and said, why, you know, the police said, why have we caught you with this amount of drugs? Why have we caught you with drugs? You know, let's get into that first, because prevention and conversation surely work hand in hand rather than criminalization and judgment. You know, substance abuse, you know, we're sort of taught not to talk in that way. It's substance use, but why? You know, there's got to be a reason that starts young people on the path of using legal drugs or using prescribed drugs, and that's a mental health issue. So what we need to start the conversation first. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm much more for cups of tea than slapping wrists. I do understand why there has to be a balance, but I don't understand why there has to be negative language and stigma and taboo, because everybody will shut down and nobody will talk about it. And we've got quite different results in our survey than the NHS would get or government would get, because we're trusted in a different way and it's anonymous. And the sort of questions that we ask and the response to it is supportive and non-judgmental. Whereas, you know, everybody else is very scared that if they say anything about misuse of drugs or using drugs for a certain reason, they're going to get into trouble. You know, let's look at the why instead of the sort of punishment.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, is that often the decisions come from the top down, whereas we'd be more talking about the cup of tea is more the bottom up. That doesn't put us at the bottom, Zoe, but that puts us on it puts people like yourself on the front line, if you like, and the young people on the front line of where this use is taking place, where those decisions are being taken. And you rightly say, you know, there are a lot of issues around drugs, county lines as an issue that affects young people as well, which all of those things feed into. But actually this, I think, for the survey, it almost flags up the individual and their the sort of decision making or the world in which they view themselves as well. What do you do with these stats now, Zoe? You talk about the sort of the signposting to it as well. You now know that if you do speak to young people as part of the mix, that at least one in three will respond or will have the experience to respond to this in terms of illegal drug use. So what do you do, and what are you able to offer?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, actually, because the team at the Mix are absolutely incredible. They are amazing. You know, we're a completely holistic support service. We don't just deal with drugs. We deal with every issue for a young person, which actually means that we're pretty well placed to have this conversation, because we're looking around, as I hope that's come across, we're looking around the whole young person. Why is this coming up, and what do you want us to do about it? So the first thing we have done is say, we've got these results from your survey, young people. You know, what is it you would like us to provide in terms of extra and additional and new support? So honest conversations, helping people understand what drugs are, what classifications they are, what are the legal aspects around it, what will they get in trouble for and how much trouble, but also just the general more well-being side of things. You know, people are using drugs because they can't access support services. So, okay, let's highlight where our support services are and how we can signpost to others. Let's talk to lots of different organisations about, you know, their experiences and what services they're providing, make sure that we can partner with them and signpost to them. We're putting things on our Instagram, absolutely fantastic kind of guides that we launched yesterday, which is about, you know, how to look after somebody if they're not having a great time. It's called the Drugs First Aid Kit. And it's just very practical, very resourceful, very non-judgmental. And, you know, we want young people to look after each other if they're not having a great time. They're usually with friends. What can your friend do about it to help you if things aren't going as you expected whilst having an experience on drugs? You know, we want to put those things in place. So it's conversations and it's practical things as well. We've got our great team on the services in our chat rooms, in our community. And then we've got our counselling service as well, where lots of people are absolutely brilliant in how to talk to young people about the things that they can put in place if they're having trouble with studying, if they're having trouble with relationships, if they're, you know, thinking that drugs are the thing that they can fall back on. So lots of different experiences that they can have with the mix. And the content that we're providing is a lot of it from young people. So very much that kind of peer-to-peer conversation, which means that it's more authentic. It means that it's young people talking about their experiences. Again, we've had real challenges getting young people to talk about it, even to us, but we've been able to do that by giving them anonymity. So it's a lot about sharing, and a lot about making sure that we're the resource in the UK that young people can come to talk about anything, and know that they're going to be safe and going to be signposted onto the next support service if they need to be.
Yeah, I think that's credit to you and the team for sort of creating that environment. I think finally, just to wrap up, so I think there's almost a sense sometimes that when we talk about young people and use of drugs, substances, there's almost a sense of there's a carefree nature to it, that young people are doing this and they don't care because they're younger. But I wonder whether or not actually there may also be young people there who are feeling under incredible pressure and feeling like the only way that they can study is that they can take some of the substances that we've mentioned, or the only way they can escape maybe memories of things that have happened to them, difficult times, is to, you know, start dosing up with antidepressants, or the only way that they feel they can have a good time is to, you know, get involved in a class A substance or whatever it would be. That maybe people feel that, you know, that comes with a carefree attitude. I imagine there's quite a lot of young people probably thinking, okay, when I first did this, it felt all right, but maybe I'm leaning on it a little bit more now, or maybe I'm getting a little bit too old to this. And I just wonder whether or not that actually might be a focus, that there will also be young people who are going, I need to move away from this myself.
Yeah, definitely. I think dependency is a difficult thing for people to admit as well. But to your point about whether, you know, people assume that young people are very free and easy and taking their drugs without a care in the world, I think our data and insights from this survey proves absolutely the opposite, in that so many are taking it because they have worries. Now, you know, does that sound like the sort of young person that's just out on a Saturday night living it up? No, that, you know, a lot of it, there's a lot of other issues underneath that. And we have to get down to what those issues are, to be able to tackle the issue of using drugs as a support mechanism. So it's far deeper. We're not going to overnight stop people from using drugs, and should we? Definitely not prescription drugs. So we need to rethink what drugs mean to us and our lifestyles, and to young people, and what they're using them for. Many of them are not out in nightclubs every week. They can't afford it. The cost of living is going to hit young people much more than it ever did before. Does that mean that they're going to be buying drugs that are more harmful, cheaper? What's the knock-on effect going to be of that and the economy on young people if they do have a dependency on drugs, or if they are now using them for these purposes? So, you know, there's a lot more work for us to do to actually be able to answer that question, Mick. And I hope that, you know, releasing the survey and getting it out there in the media, trying to break down some of the stigma around it and get to the root cause or root reason or root solution of why we can help young people to get some other coping mechanisms in place first.
And I think that's a great point, because, of course, we've talked about, you know, the social, the emotional aspects to it, the mental health aspects to it as well. There is also that criminal aspect to it as well, which young people need to know the stats and the facts around. I mentioned there the Mix has got some brilliant resources online. Organizations like Talk to Frank are very good for that too. I'll put some of those in the notage as well, so that people can get the full picture. But like I say, the Mix is a good place to go for this one, because they've got the survey results, which are out today. So thank you so much for sharing those with us, Zoe. Really appreciate the work that you're doing. As ever, it's always great to catch up with you. Thank you for your insights today, and we'll catch up again very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Mick. Really appreciate having the time to come on and talk about this. And any young person that's worried, obviously, you know, no judgment at the Mix. Please do come and talk to one of our brilliant team.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.